Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Cheater in the Rood, coming to you from the Progressive Radio Network. This is Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rood Pundit, and joining me as ever
is Jeff Kreisler, reader of The Rood, The Rood Pundit, and also I do stuff myself. But I'm just Jeff Kreisler for now. We are occupying the call-in function, and we are ready to have another great show on Progressive Radio Network.
Hey, was that stuttering thing you did right there? Was that a Herman Cain who's Becky, 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 Becky Stan joke?
It was. It was a very inside joke that apparently only everyone got, I guess. Everyone that I know that's listening, that's you.
That's me. I'm the only listener. Okay, that's all right.
Speaking of Herman Cain, it's pretty played out, his whole ad thing, but how come no one has commented? For those of the listeners who don't know Herman Cain's ad of what is the campaign manager or chief of staff, the cigarette at the ad is drawing the attention, but also the guy is shaking his head while he says, "We are running the best campaign, and we've never seen anything like it." That's like,
so you think it's subliminal messaging that Herman Cain, that Mike Block, the guy that's Herman Cain's campaign manager, is actually saying, "No, run, fucking run, as far away as you can from this crazy motherfucker."
Well, it depends on how well he's being paid. It's either subliminal messaging or if he's being well paid. It's just a tell. It's liar's body language 101.
Do you want to tell everybody what this ad is? It's just an online ad.
Right. It's a 1-minute ad that has been getting some play in the make fun of things world and is intentionally, I think, made so Cain get some noise. But it's this Block guy basically looking in the camera with some Tea Party music in the background saying,
"I am America." The song is "I Am America."
Right, just the 1% of America. But nonetheless, that song is playing. This guy is saying, "No one's ever seen anybody like Herman Cain. He's sweet. You guys need to help us." And then in the end, he takes a big drag of a cigarette, and then Herman Cain comes on with a creepy smile.
Well, it's the Herman Cain, and that Herman Cain smile at the end, the as Stephen Colbert pointed out, the 8-second smile, that it's at the end of almost every one of Herman Cain's ads. If you watch a good many of them, as I in fact have, you see that everything ends with him looking straight at the camera with a straight mouth and then slowly smiling. And I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm going to come there and I'm going to fuck your dog, man. I'm going to fuck your dog.
Only if you can climb on top of my station wagon. That's a Romney reference.
Yes, it is.
I think two things about the fact that you've seen...
Two things about it. Yes, I think we lost Jeff for a moment. Well, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things about it, and not the least of which is that it just smacks of a non-serious campaign, and why are we even listening to Herman Cain? That's what I wonder. I wonder if this is just some big prank that's being played on America by Herman Cain. I think that somebody pointed out that maybe this is, Herman Cain is just a performance art piece that was created to annoy Mitt Romney. And
I'm back!
Wow, the magic of Skype. Oh, technology. Is there anything you can't solve and then fuck up and then solve again?
I just had a pizza delivered from Godfather's, and it came with a dropped call. How did you cover for me while I went to get that pizza? Did you point out how awesome the world is that we can watch these ads, and that there are people like us that have time on our hands to watch them, or did you just point out the fact that I lost one of my Would You Rathers, which is going to be Would You Rather Watch All of the Herman Cain Ads?
No. I went into a serious analysis of the Herman Cain presidential candidacy. I'm sorry that you missed it. It probably would have enlightened you a great deal.
Was it the Herman Cain presidential campaign is just a publicity push for his book?
Or just a mass? I have to repeat myself for your benefit.
Use different words.
I said that he's essentially, yes, he is a grifter. He is a grifter who has no staff in no people on the ground really in Iowa or New Hampshire, and doesn't really give a shit. Just really likes being on TV. And you know what? Again, because he's black and Republican, he will be on TV all the time.
Hey, look, it's a new model for success. Not everyone can get on a reality show, so they follow the Sarah Palin plan. And look, what did she do? She ran for office for a few months.
Okay, but let's at least acknowledge that Sarah Palin's Alaska is an interesting state. You know, Herman Cain's what, Michigan?
He's not a representative of the state. He actually has government experience as being a lobbyist.
No, yeah, he has no state. And, well, you know, Sarah Palin's government, well, I guess she was a mayor and a council member.
Isn't this a beautiful thing? Herman Cain is making Sarah Palin look legitimate. I think it's all a conspiracy going back to Sarah Palin 2016 that pushed the Herman Cain, Christy O'Donnell ticket of crazies. I'm exhausted by saying Sarah Palin's name. I'm done.
So...
Oh, speaking of people just running and not caring, guess who else is apparently entering the race?
Who?
Harry Jones. Not the Monty Python one, but the book-burning, bearded, crazy dude. Terry Jones is apparently going to be running for president.
Wait. Oh, this is the Koran-burning guy?
Yeah, yep.
The guy who punked out on burning a Koran? Or did he burn a Koran finally? I don't remember.
He got punked. Some skateboarder, future occupier, I suppose.
No. That was somebody else. That was not Terry Jones.
No, that was Terry Jones.
No, the guy that snatched it and said, dude, you have no Koran?
That wasn't Terry Jones?
That was not Terry Jones. That was some other backward-ass country fuck preacher.
Yeah.
I think that one was in Dallas.
And Terry Jones is not related to the guys that are going to protest the funerals. I almost said wedding.
I don't think he's related to the church people.
But anyway, he has released a statement that he's going to be running for White House. Well,
I imagine he's often running for the White House.
The House of White. But you know what? His platform is actually very similar. It's stop spending, balance the budget, reduce military spending, deport all illegals, reduce corporate taxes, which is sort of... And reduce bureaucracy. He's pretty much got the right-wing platform down with a Sharia law as sort of a footnote only.
Man. Wow, I don't get why some Yosemite Sam'd mustached Yahoo actually gives a shit about the corporate tax rate.
That is what killed me. But it's become such a talking point that it's job creators. It's a nonsense, and we still have the great, you know, like it's not like corporations aren't coming here. In London, they're clawing back bonuses, so banking isn't going to go over there. You know, in Hong Kong. It's dark when it's light over here, so that's probably some sort of... I haven't thought it all the way through. The point is, why are these people so adamant about lowering corporate taxes? As it is, the effective corporate tax rate is about 1%, if even.
Well, yeah, or if that, yeah. What was it, Exxon didn't pay any federal taxes?
Yeah, like Bank of America got like a refund.
Really?
Some big thing that I get. They all blend together to me in one big...
So, hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah, give it to me. I'm getting sassy.
Yeah, well, just speaking of, you know, now that we're talking banks and financial shit and all that, why does it seem we're only, the Justice Department is only going after Indian inside traders?
Aha. Because they're fun to paint as villainous and other, and aren't they also the people that are taking our jobs, the Indians? Yeah.
They're taking our precious 7-Eleven and Dunkin' Donuts jobs, yes.
And our call center jobs, and our engineering jobs. They're not just populous. They're not just the land of outsourcing, but they're also smart and hardworking. And, you know, India, they have nuclear weapons over there. They're probably a big threat. They are much more of a threat to us than banks or derivatives or Goldman Sachs. I think more of an issue is the prosecutor. in the Galleon case, which is both this guy from Citibank, the Gupta, and Rajaratnam. The prosecutor in that case is also of Indian heritage, for whatever that, you know, you can be racist no matter what your heritage. But more of an issue isn't so much that they're Indian, but that they're small potatoes. I mean, I don't have the number in front of me, but this guy, Rajaratnam, he made like a few $100 million max off of the insider trading, which is big for insider trading, but it's nothing compared to the trillions that, you know, Citibank and all the derivative sales did. And it's sort of outrageous that we're going after small potatoes, people that really didn't do anything. I mean, there's harm in insider trading, there's no doubt, but they did not damage the economy and cause people to lose their homes like others did. And Citigroup just, I think it was the end of last week, they settled the case where, I don't know if they officially admitted guilt or not, but basically they paid a $200 million fine, which is chump change, for selling their own clients derivative products that they knew were bad, that they created so that they could bet against. So they created something, they bet against it so that they could make money, but then in order to make money, someone had to buy them, so they sold them to their own clients. So they created their own suckers and bet against their own suckers. And all they had to do when caught and found out about it was they paid people back, but they just had to pay a $200 million fine. That's their slap on the wrist for destroying everything and misleading their own effing customers. It's one thing to mislead, like, people that, you know, you're trying to lie and get to be your customers, like if you're Reebok or Mark Rubio. It's another thing to mislead customers that have supposedly put their trust in you. It's, people should march. They should go down to, like,
Wall Street, perhaps?
Yeah.
Maybe they should occupy it?
Yeah.
So speaking of that sort of synthesis, that never-ending synthesis between money and politics, did you hear who Michelle Obama is going to be at a fundraiser with?
I did not, and I want to make a guess, but there's too many awesome possibilities, and probably none of them are Lenny Kravitz.
A former Enron executive, a trader for Enron, who is part of an organization that's trying to convert public pensions into 401k style plans.
Oh, good.
Yep.
You know, do people remember that they wanted to privatize Social Security a little while ago? Do people, like, what is it? I mean, does this guy at least, like, that she's having the fundraiser with, is he at least into also, like, healthy food?
I would imagine he's into eating all kinds of baby animals, from kittens to fawns to just popping chicks in his mouth like they're popcorn.
Mm. That's how Colonel Sanders got his start. He actually was just sergeant.
Hey, Greg, I think we're going to need to take a break because I'm going to have to abandon you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you next week, though.
All right, you talk to me. I will talk to myself. We're going to take a quick break. Lee, tell the people where they can find you.
At Rude Pundit on Twitter or at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
We'll be back in 2 seconds. Welcome back, friends and enemies and other people that are among these 7 billion humanoids out in the world. You know, if I could just get half of you, 7 billion humanoids, to listen to this show, and then just half of those half of 7 billion to purchase my book at full price, I would be willing to think of the other half of a half of 7 billion in a good way. Like, I would put you in my heart. I would give you a prayer. I would make it so that the heavens
such as it were, and having at that point on an order of $3.7 billion times something, be able to speak to the heavens. I would make sure that the heavens would provide for you in some sort of way. I think what I'm trying to say is that when I become the 1%, I'll remember the 99%, and I will do my best to trickle down whatever it is that's coming out of me. At the time, I'm sure I'll have the secret good health care that's provided to the uber wealthy, and I will do the best that I can. Now, I mentioned something while I was talking with Lee. Lee, the repundant, has gone. He every now and then he gets reprimanded for being rude. He's told, hey, generally unpleasant pundit, you've crossed the line. And I think, you know, if listeners would go back and listen to every one of our episodes, they'd see that the rude pundit really has come quite as far away. I mean, he used to be very rude. I don't think we went a minute without saying dirty, nasty things. Now we just imply dirty, nasty things. Fortunately, the world has provided plenty of dirty, nasty things for us to discuss without having to use dirty, nasty words. I think the point is, when I am able, I will provide for everyone. But until then, all I can do is share a few things with you. And one of the things is what we were talking about with Lee. I mentioned marketing in a way. I talked about if you're selling products, you can, not you can, but you often mislead. Right? I mean, this is in the book, the Get Rich Cheating book. I'm the author of that, GetRichCheating.com. You mislead people. People say, oh, this is quote-unquote organic, or, oh, this is only made with seaweed, or, oh, this will help you lose weight. And, you know, it happens all the time. Now, Reebok recently settled a case for misleading advertising for their shoes. They said if you walked around in these shoes, you get toned and an adorable little buttocks. And who doesn't want an adorable buttocks? And maybe they could defend themselves by saying most Americans don't actually walk, they sit, so in a way. Marco Rubio recently was accused of lying about his family history. You know, it's possible that he actually is not a human, but is a fabrication of some sort of lab in the Republican Karl Rovian lair that's in Colorado Springs, where they build people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain, where they try to combine sort of ethnic and demographic needs into their traditional support of the white male dominant political economic order. I mean, they obviously, you know, they're rolling out the different models. Most scientific method, you know, you would wait until you've perfected it to release it. But I think they're kind of beta testing, you know, with Sarah Palin, Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Angle, or obviously it's mess ups, and then Michelle Bachmann. You can still see how the electronics don't quite match, and, you know, there's misfiring. Michelle Bachmann, you can see her kind of getting caught on certain words. Herman Cain, you know, they went in a different direction. They're trying to do parallel development. You know, it's a programming system. It's a wonderful thing. And maybe Mark Rubio is part of that, or maybe he's not. The point is, he was accused of sort of mismarketing his own message, trying to sell himself. And when I'm not saying he did, I don't know the facts. I don't jump to any conclusions, although I do claim the Republicans have a person making lair in Colorado Springs. But my point is, it's something that's been going on, misleading marketing. And how long have you seen that? I mean, from weight loss to just you'll be happy, or drink this beer and you'll be surrounded by models. And there's even a case coming to the Supreme Court, I believe, about people marketing themselves as war veterans, as army vets. And this, to me, is sort of, in a way, the lowest of the low. We already treat our soldiers, our veterans, so poorly that to take advantage of them by claiming to be one of them and taking the limited amount of goodwill and financial support that is available to them. There are people out there claiming to be vets so that they can get your confidence, get your information, get your trust, get your money. It's kind of disgusting. I'm sure somehow the McRib sandwich fits into this. What is a little disturbing to me is when the marketing and the misleading, it goes beyond sort of selling stuff that we don't necessarily need. I mean, you don't need shoes to make you fit. You don't necessarily need to vote for Herman Cain. You don't need to buy a derivative product that's a sophisticated combination of mortgages that Citigroup knows are going to fail. But you need to go to school. You need to learn. And there's so much misleading work now. There's so much cheating in the education system. It disturbs me. I mean, look, there's the recent news is the SATs, the scandal on Long Island, in Long Island, New York. I think Great Neck, New York is a town. People cheating on the SATs, taking it for others. There's the cheating scandal in Atlanta and New York City where students will take these standardized tests and, you know, in the way that our incentive system is set up, they've got to achieve certain scores for that school district to make a certain amount of money. And the teachers, the administrators want them to do well. They don't care if they have to learn. They just want them to do well so they get their money, their funding, their line, because heaven forbid schools just teach instead of having to compete and survive like they're some sort of commodity. Well, I guess commodities actually would be supported by our capitalist system because, you know, it's only capitalism for certain people. And for the real powers, it's socialism. By real powers, I don't mean the people marching on Wall Street. I mean the people on Wall Street working there. It's socialism. You know, heads I win, tails you lose. It's only capitalism if I win. It's socialism if I lose. Because then you've got to bail me out. The point is, there's all this cheating in the schools, even the United States Naval Academy, because of the incentive structure, because of the need for students to do well in the eyes of the administrators and teachers, not necessarily in the eyes of students, but in the eyes of administrators and teachers, that it's scary to me. I mean, look, I wrote a book about cheating. What's going on Wall Street is largely a protest about the cheating in the system. It's not, you know, don't make money. It's don't make money by bending the rules when the rest of us have to play by the rules. We are spreading the culture of cheating. When teachers cheat, they are the ones teaching our children, literally teaching our children about the world, and they are therefore teaching them it is okay to cheat. When a child takes a test, and somewhere inside of their mind, in their heart, in their soul, they know, I didn't get an A+. I didn't get 100. I didn't get almost everything right, and then they find out, oh, you did perfectly on your test. They know something's wrong. And it makes some sense to me because teacher is just an anagram for cheater. Yeah. Move your ch around. Sort of like it's a Jewish holiday. Move your ch to the front. Teacher becomes cheater. Yeah. Did I just make you take out a pen and a paper, and write down letters. And letters, what are they? The squiggly lines that represent sound-making things. Yeah, I think we see the rabbit hole goes pretty far. And I'm looking forward to my stint filling in for Glenn Beck on the crazy hour, but I'm not crazy about this. Culture of cheating is spreading, my friends, and it's a top-down spread. It's not a bottom down. It's top down, and with that top is Wall Street, where that top is our cheaters who are teachers. It's kind of sad. I wrote a book because I wanted to laugh. I didn't want to cry at the state of these things, and I thought, hey, let's write this book and make fun of it in the past. Oh, let's have a financial crisis and a Bernie Madoff and an Alex Rodriguez, and we'll see how the cheating is, and we'll go laugh at it. And then we'll move beyond, and beyond is a land where we don't do it anymore. And instead, it seems to be spreading even more and more, that as more and more desperation sets in, more and more people are choosing the cheating path, and they're seeing the ability to justify cheating in the language of the right, in the language of people like Terry Jones, who we spoke of earlier, wanting there to be no corporate taxes. They are learning the language of justification, and ultimately, the language of justification is the language of marketing, and it's the language of misleading. And I have created a circle, a small circle within a large Mobius strip of spikes and valleys and other types of geometric shapes, to point out that we need to break the cycle. It's a cycle of event, description of event, spin of event, reaction to event, spin of reaction, reaction to spin of reaction, and nothing about the event and the cause of the event is ever discussed. If you want to know a little bit more about this idea of cheating being what Occupy Wall Street's out. Matt Taibbi at Rolling Stone wrote a good article. I know it's online. You can check that out. Rolling Stone about cheating on Occupy Wall Street. You can, of course, check out my book or my show. But, you know, I don't think that's, you know, I'm not here trying to sell books. I'm not Herman Cain. I'm not Newt Gingrich. Although Newt's not really trying to sell books. He's trying to get interest in his new TV show, Who Wants to Be America's Next Top Gingrich Wife. It's a competition show. You can find out more about it online. We have just a couple minutes left, and I can't take any calls right now. The phone lines have been lighting up like crazy. But I do want to send my thoughts out to the people of Oakland, California, who always seems to be in a mess, whether it's transit officers on BART shooting people or the other night's tear gas. What is up with you people? You are so close to San Francisco. You are just across that bridge. I realize the bridge is there to keep you out, but don't you feel any of that? It's cool, bro, love. I know it's the cops that are the ones doing it. I don't know what their problem is. Were you guys, like, trying to insist on Keats instead of Starbucks? In all seriousness, the Occupy movement, where I've seen it in Washington, D.C., in Spokane, Washington, and down in Zuccotti Park, has been kind, thoughtful people. There are occasionally those that seem to want to rile up the police and invoke some sort of action, or not provoke, they're saying this. Stop that. And, you know, keep peaceful. There's going to be people more and more that are coming out to try to get you violent, get you riled up. And that is not what we need. I mean, this movement has a message that will get out and is getting out. And you can see by the fact that people are responding to it that it resonates. And by people responding, I mean both sides of the aisle. I'll be down there this weekend, I hope, or tomorrow. And, you know what, that's it. Are we, Greg, can we get one quick check-in from our correspondent in Japan, who I know there's a lot of economic turmoil overseas, from the Eurozone to Turkey's earthquake. And in Japan, there's a big situation. Greg, can we hear from them?
Run! It's Godzilla!
Yep, you see, there's been attacks on Occupy Tokyo. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been Jeff Kreisler. Earlier heard from Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. This is Keeter and the Rude. We're here every Thursday at 8 o'clock. You can check out all sorts of fun stuff. There's been fun stuff happening for me. Go to jeffkreisler.com, J-E-S-F-K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, or getrichcheating.com. See some appearance of mine on the MSNBC, making some jokes here. This is a discussion spot, necessarily a joke spot. You can also check out Lee Papa's action on Rude Pundit on the blog spot. And go to our Facebook page and like us on the Facebook page, because not a lot of people like us on the Facebook page. And listen to the other shows here on Progressive Radio Network. Again, Jeff Kreisler, Keeter on the Rude, Progressive Radio Network. Stay safe, everybody.